Camera for Donnie.
Go for Donnie.
Sound for Donnie.
Go for Donnie.
Makeup for Donnie.
Go for Donnie.
We're both for Donnie.
Go for Donnie.
Grip department for Donnie.
Go for Donnie.
Wardrobe for Donnie.
Go for Donnie.
Chair for Donnie.
Go for Donnie.
Dude, what's going on? How are
what's
you?
What's up? Man. I'm good. How are you doing?
Dude, it's been a while. We've been trying to get this thing going. It's Go for Donnie episode one. Finally.
It's happening. It's all happening. But where are you at now, Jay? Where are you coming from?
I'm down in the corner office, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool, Jay. Oh, man. Yeah. I love it. We're finally here. It's finally happening. We've been talking about this for quite a while now, and we're finally doing it. This is so cool, Jay. I'm so excited.
Yeah. It's just been a long time. We've been talking about this for more than a little bit. And, you know, tell everyone kind of where this idea sort of sprang from.
Hello, everybody. Just so you guys know, this is Go for Donnie, and I'm your host, Donnie, and that is Jay. He's our producer. So this idea came from all the fun times in Top Gear USA. And when we all get together, we always tell the same crazy, fun shenanigan stories from that show.
Yeah.
So Jay and I decided, hey, man, why stop at Top Gear when we can talk about all crazy stories from any TV, film, or branded productions?
Yeah. So now our tagline is crazy film and TV production stories. So yeah, if you're hearing us on a podcast, if you're a listener, this is what you're going to get from here on out. It's going to be the craziest, wildest stories from behind the scenes on just about any kind of production you can think of. So we're excited to get started on this.
And we have so many stories, Jay. We have so many stories. I mean, I'm sure you have some examples. The first one that tops my head is the Navajo Nation to Moab rental cars episode with the guys and being in that Suburban and getting so dusty from that picture, which is actually our thumbnail for GFD1.
Yeah. So this is kind of a funny story Donnie's talking about. We were going through the dustiest, most, I mean, and it was not just a regular dust, right, Donnie? I mean, this dust was it was like silky
fine powder.
Fine. It was incredible. It was like the stuff that your wife puts on her face. It was just ridiculously fine. And of course, the bear, Rupert Smith, our fearless leader, was, he was driving like crazy, driving like wild with the windows down. And so
he doesn't understand the vacuum concept. If you keep the windows up with the tailgate up where we're shooting out the back of the Suburban, you're not going to get as much dust, but he did not go for that. So all the windows were down. So I think we just had to give in at that point.
Yeah, I covered up my sound gear with some plastic, but unfortunately for me, I had earlier in the day covered my entire face with sunscreen. So the picture you see on the thumbnail is a bunch of sticky sunscreen with, like, I would say a measurable amount of, I would say maybe like 2 millimeters of just fine, sticky, silty dust.
It was caked on. And Jay, it's not just any normal sunscreen. I mean, that's got to be like SPF like 1000, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah, zinc, I had like SPF 1000 on for sure. Yeah.
It was all caked on. It was so awesome. And then I remember getting back to the hotel and I think they had pizza for us.
Yeah. And we ate it happily with our dust caked faces. Yeah.
And then we got up and did it all over again. And then that same trip now, Jay, that same trip is the bouncy house story. At the end of that shoot where we had to get the vehicles down from the bluff down into the valley some creative way. Right. So the guys each came up with their own creative way to get them down and cut to the Mustang flying.
Yeah. And so what we'd love to do, we've talked about this, Donnie and I have talked about this a few times, our DP, Dan DeCastro, and Rupert Smith, our fearless director. Our director was at the top and our DP Dan was at the bottom. I was down with Dan. You were up at top with Rupert.
I was up top with Rupert. Yep.
Yeah. The bear and the peacock. And so we're going to let them tell this story because, yeah, that's a story that I don't think we should step on because that's a heck of a story. And
I'll be with Rupert in his side and you can be with Dan in his side. And then we'll see how it shakes out because we know in the end, what happened. And it's so funny. Uh-oh. And we still talk about it today.
Yeah. It's one of those stories that just, it brings a smile to my face every time I think about it. It's hilarious. But yeah, that's one of so many. I mean, Top Gear, we were so lucky to be on Top Gear together because it was pretty much every episode was a wild, crazy adventure, right? I mean, it was just packed full of adventures and insanity, really, quite honestly.
Jay, some of the best days of my life are from that show. And that's, you know, why we're here talking about this on this podcast, because we just had so much fun. I've never felt that camaraderie ever with another crew. Sorry for everyone else I worked with ever since. But just that tightness and that camaraderie and that closeness and that trust that we had with each other, which we needed for the things that we're doing on set with fast cars, a lot of movement. So it was just a special time in our life and some special memories that we just want to share.
Yeah, it was a family. We were definitely a family. It was tight. It was cool. It's sort of like, I guess, you know, when you go through boot camp with somebody, you know, you get really tight because you go through so many trials and tribulations. A lot of the adventures were pretty scary too. They weren't all these just funny, you know? So there's some really wild
that
ones.
That reminds me of Iceland, Jay, where things go to freeze and die. Like when Adam, remember when Adam was up there? And these are not crevices. These are called crevasses.
A crevasse.
Where they're huge and they'll swallow a crevasse, where they'll swallow your vehicle. And that's kind of what happened when Adam, it's the last shot of the day. Adam was driving down and he was trying to turn around and he was in a big old Silverado, old Navy truck, and the front end tipped down and went down in the crevasse. Oh my gosh. It was nuts.
Almost
and then,
lost
I don't know
Adam.
If you remember, we almost lost Adam, but thank goodness for our guides. All the Icelandic guides took off down there so fast and they got that car and Adam out of there so quick. It was so impressive. So I really did feel safe, even though there were big crevasses around.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We were like the first film crew on that volcano. That was a volcano that just had erupted and had sent a plume of ash and smoke all over Europe. And we were the first crew to actually go back up there and shoot something. And it's crazy because it's like a glacier, right? I mean, it's not just a normal, it's Iceland. So it's like you go up there and there's huge crevasses that they'll just swallow you up, eat you, you know?
I remember being with our guide, Geasley, and watching him drive by GPS. And he would open the door sometimes because we were creeping at like, I don't know, not even 2 miles an hour. And he would just look out the door to see if he's moving. And he had watched that line on the GPS and he always stayed on that line all the time. Because he said, if you went off, you could go into a crevasse.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's crazy. And that's where we were. Danger. That's the kind of stuff we would be doing all the time on Top Gear. It was like, that was the kind of stuff. And that, we had a whole caravan of cars following him, you know, and we were going up there to sleep. And there was a cabin. Remember, we had to sleep in a cabin that night, all of us in one room, toe to face. So the person you had to sleep with, you had to smell his toes and the other person had to smell your toes. And
double bunk beds.
Yeah, I was like, how many of us? There were 30 people in one room.
Just, there had to be 30 in there. I mean, there were guys sleeping everywhere. My bunkmate was Rutledge Wood. He was kind enough to share my bunk with me, and we had a great time.
Yeah, everyone was snoring. Your bunkmate? And Dino.
Oh, Dino. Oh, Dino from Florida. It was a duck out of the water right there. Oh, Dino.
Yeah.
It was a harmony of snoring, as I remember as well.
Yeah, yeah. It was amazing, but but it was so worth it. See, that's the thing. Like one of those nights, you know, you get to go out and have a beer with an Aurora Borealis on the back porch, right? I mean, after they had to break down the door because the ice was so thick. Wasn't there like this
remember
much
the ice?
Ice
was so thick. We had, we had to break that down before we can even get into the building.
Yeah. And it was so, it was like, maybe we're sleeping in our trucks on top of a volcano around the crevasses, you know, but there's this Aurora Borealis going on and, you know, get out there and shoot that Aurora, you know, just like that was a crazy time. Iceland rocks. I definitely love Iceland. That was
that major trip. The Aurora Borealis up there at that ice shack in Iceland on the world close to Eyjafjallajökull. I believe that's how they pronounce it. You can check me on that one. But it was one of those epic journeys that we got to go on Top Gear. And then that's just one of many stories that we're so excited to share here at Go for Dog.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And we definitely want to have Adam on, and we want to do maybe an episode of trying to kill Adam, all the episodes that we almost killed Adam.
So
that
many
being
times
one of them,
Adam.
Iceland being one of them, you know, almost going into the crevasse. But Remember when we had to go across from Niagara Falls to Toronto? With the, oh my God.
Yeah, in their homemade amphibious vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the funny story about that. Well, when we finally saw the footage of almost losing Adam, and we probably shouldn't step on that story either, because we have to have him on to tell all of his stories about almost dying. But maybe that's the name of that episode. Almost killing Adam Ferrara.
Almost killing Adam Ferrara.
Yeah. How many times? I'm not going to ruin it too much, but it went down not only to the bottom of Lake Ontario, but I had, you know, $20,000 worth of sound gear attached to that thing. And there was, you know, POV cameras. And I mean, it was a very expensive mistake. Yeah. Some lucky guy is going to go down there scuba diving someday and he's going to be like, what is this? This is that old Top Gear wreckage, you know, and
salvage it. And the footage too, right? Yeah. That'd be awesome. I remember, not to give too much away, but I remember being on the chase boat and not being able to see what was going on. And the only way we knew that he went down was the footage from the helicopter. And we were watching him and he literally just stepped right up out of the water. And then they plucked him out. It was so bizarre.
It was weird because the water started getting a little choppy. And then, yeah, I mean, that lake is like a sea. It's like an ocean, you know. But you know what it reminded me of? It's like one of those things when we finally saw the footage from the helicopter. It's kind of like watching, you know, those YouTube videos where you see a shark almost kill somebody and you're just like, oh my God, that was so close. Like
close call yet again, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that other one? Flatiron building that we almost killed him on?
Oh, my gosh, that's right. That was an episode where the guys made homemade RVs, yet another one of the best days of my life. And we were at a short dirt oval track in Charlotte, just down the street from Charlotte Motor Speedway. And the guys were racing three NASCAR drivers in regular RVs, 35-foot RVs, and they were racing around this dirt oval track. And then they were just really aggro and hitting each other. And next thing you know, Adam's car just flips over. And but he's on his side.
Well, we shouldn't explain too much about it, I guess, because we might ruin that for Adam. But there was a replica of a certain famous building in New York.
Building on a car as his homemade RV. So clearly, Adam thinks of a homemade RV as an apartment in New York because that's his style, Pally.
Well, you know, and to be fair for all the producers that tried to kill Adam, you know, it's kind of like par for the course. If you grow up in New York City and you've spent your whole life on a subway and then you get hired to go on a car show where you have to drive all the time, you're probably going to die. You're probably going to come in through some near-death experiences, you know? So, Adam, if you're listening, you got to come on here and tell us about those, right?
He's got to tell about his near-death experiences. Or he can tell us about one of the military episodes we did at Fort Irwin, where Adam got to sit in the tank and fire off some rounds downrange. And he was the happiest I've ever seen him. I think we have some photos to reference that too.
Yeah, there's so much good stuff. Yeah, Fort Irwin. I was lucky enough on that one to be a drone operator and flying over all the craziness that was going on. So all the listeners and viewers out there, you know, we got to work a couple of times with the military. They had us on to do these kind of really fun military shows where the guys from Top Gear, you know, get chased down by military vehicles and aircraft and you name it. So we had some really wild adventures.
One of the most epic ones, Fort Campbell, where the 101st Airborne, Screaming Eagles, they chased down Tanner in a G-Wagon. They cuffed him, stuffed him into a Black Hawk, and then flew away. It was amazing. Yet another great day on Top Gear. Hashtag Top Gear.
And some of these things, you know, we talk about how much fun they were, but, you know, we were also at Fort Irwin. Do you remember where we were put up at the fine establishment?
That's right. So yeah, there wasn't anything lavish because our lifestyle is anything but lavish here in the reality world in TV, guys. We were actually staying in barracks, some old army barracks. So we all had bunks next to each other. It was amazing. It was some good camaraderie.
Bunks with literal bunks. One guy sleeping on top of the next. Like,
and do you remember Rupert's makeshift wall? That way he could cut out all the snoring. He and Senior put fernie pads on the bunks so they could make little cubby holes.
Yeah. And then we had to shower and it was winter and we had to shower in another building, remember?
That's right. We had to walk across.
Cold water.
Nothing but the finest accommodations for the Top Gear crew, I can tell you.
Yeah. No, but we did. I got to say, we did stay in some really beautiful 5-star places occasionally there too. But we paid for it for the times when we were bunking up in Iceland or Fort Irwin or, you know, certain episodes. But yeah, it was crazy. Very nuts.
It made the experience, I think. And I think that we all embraced it together, which made us closer together too.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with that. Even the host, when the hosts are staying with us out there embracing what we're embracing, I mean, that's what really brought us together, I think.
Yeah, that's true. And those are three of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. The hosts of Top Gear were such a pleasure to work with. They were fun. They were super cool.
Just amazing people.
The Go for Donnie podcast has been brought to you by SDT Productions. SDT Productions is your source for video and podcast production and editing. Contact SDT Productions at 480-701-4500 or sounddronetech@gmail.com.
Well, I got to tell one quick story because Rutledge Wood, when I had my baby, we were shooting in LA and we had to shoot this weird scene inside a toy store for babies. I don't remember what that scene was about at all. But for some reason, and I was like, oh my gosh, that plane up there, you know, on top of the ceiling is so awesome. I got to get that for my kid. And Rutledge, before we left, Rutledge bought that plane for my kid and handed it over to me on the way out the door. And so now whenever my kid sees Rutledge, he's always like, he's the guy that gave me the plane, daddy. You know, so that's just a good Rutledge story.
I've got a good Rutledge story for you. So we were down in his hometown in Georgia and we did an episode where he was driving the Peel. And I don't know if you know what the Peel is, but it's a tiny little three-wheeled bubbled car vehicle that can fit in the store. And that's exactly what we did. We drove around his hometown, drove it in on the store. He got some coffee. But after, we all went back to his house where we had the best barbecue because his family made barbecue for us. And we had dinner there. And it was so cool just being able to see Rutledge at home in his element and get to share a beautiful meal with his family. It was really cool. Special.
Yeah. I bet that was awesome. Yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, and likewise, Tanner, I mean, one of the best things I can really say, too, is we had the privilege of working with probably one of the best drivers in the world on Top Gear, Tanner Faust. Like, that guy is, and not only is he funny and a nice guy, but he is the best driver, the most talented driver ever. In fact, I'll tell a quick story here. I one time was working with BJ Baldwin. Remember BJ Baldwin? He's a trophy truck driver. He actually won, like, a couple of Baja 1000s, like he's a badass. But I was on a show with him and he knew that I was on Top Gear. So the whole time he was like, hey, who's better, me or Tanner? The only person he was really trying to get at and wanted to be as good as was Tanner. So that was cool. Like, here's the, you know, trophy truck driver, the best driver in the world. So what happened is this is how it kind of played out. Like, he had to go in the scene. He had to jump his trophy truck over this girl. She was standing by her car talking on her phone. And BJ had to go flying up this hill and jump over her while she was talking on the phone. And, you know, it was like 30 feet up. And then he landed like probably like 50 yards on the other side of the hill, you know, on the downside. You know, and it was out of control. But the amount of balls it would take to do that, because those trophy trucks, you don't really get it until you see them. They go over logs, they go over boulders, they go through ravines. Nothing stops them. You know, it's just insane. So at the end, you know, he was like, so now who's better, me or Tanner? And I was like, well,
you're like, wow.
I got to do one of those for sound. And so he took me on the same jump that he did for the stunt. He took me with my sound gear, with my boom pole sticking out the thing. I had to put on a fire suit and wear a helmet and everything, you know. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm ready. And that was the wildest drive. I mean, he didn't stop for anything for me. He wanted to, like, blow my mind. So he was, like, hitting, like, huge cactuses, huge bushes, going through ravines, hitting. But you do it at such speed. And the suspension is so, you know, insane.
Yeah, you don't feel it.
It's crazy. And then he flew. And once we hit the jump, you could literally count the time. It was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Boom. I mean, it was like the longest thing. And then he was like, you want to do it again? I was like, yeah.
You're like, una mas, por favor.
For like 2 or 3 weeks, I couldn't move my elbow because it was slamming in. I was trying to protect my gear the whole time, and it was slamming into it. There's not like pads inside those trucks. It's just pure metal everywhere. And so when I got out, I was like a total crip. I couldn't move my arm. But it was so worth it. It was so awesome. But that's a Tanner story, just a, and a BJ Baldwin story. But I just wanted to say, like, yeah, Top Dog, Tanner Faust, BJ Baldwin coming after you, you know, like Tanner was so crazy. The way he would shoot with Dan DeCastro, you know, our DP, and Dan DeCastro, I always thought, I always called him like the bullfighter because he is Spanish. So it kind of worked. But he would get out there and, you know, Tanner would come flying at him and take these corners, and he would get the camera right up on, you know, on top of the car. And then they would do the whole thing where, you know, Tanner's drifting donuts and Dan is like right in the center. And,
right in the center. You know. Yeah. Well, that's, I believe that's where his nickname came from, the peacock, because he was flapping his arms out there while he's holding the camera and moving around.
Is that where it came from?
I thought it was. It makes sense. I mean, seeing all the videos and the photos of Dan going in the dust and chasing the car with a camera.
I always called him the bullfighter, but yeah, how come you never got a name? Like, we got the bear, we got the puma. I always told people I was Jaybird because I was brought up as a Jaybird, but nobody, it didn't catch on for Top Gear.
So my spirit animal was the eagle because it soars so beautiful. So beautiful when it's flying up in the air, majestic. But then again, there for a while, my nickname was Tactical D, because I have this tactical vest that I would wear. And being an assistant director on a show, especially a car show, when you have helicopters and multiple channels you have to monitor, it was just easy to have this great TAC vest where I could have all these walkies. And so I always had a lot of walkies in my tactical vest. Yeah. And that was another great thing is whenever I'm calling action, I'd always look to my right, and there's Jay with his boom pole and his microphone and his headphones, like, you know, getting video, getting audio of me calling action. So,
but we never had any open mics on our sets, did we? We were always really concerned
just
about
me.
Sound.
Just me. Just me. Yeah. No,
if you go to our website, just all you listeners out there, if you go to gofordonnie.com, you can see the TAC suit. You can see really what we're talking about. There's some pictures of Donnie, you know, with the real stuff. And he literally would have like 3 or 4 walkies, and I have to hand it to him. That's kind of where the idea for Go for Donnie kind of came out of, was like thinking about Donnie with all these different walkies, talking to every different department. He would be talking to, you know, production, camera, sound. Everybody's talking to him on a different channel, and he's like trying to keep everybody in time, in line, synced up. Okay, we're getting ready. Okay, wait, you got to wait for camera. You know, there's so much. So Donnie was built to be the host of this show because he's been the center of, you know, the whole kind of communication center. And not only that, but even when we're out just like talking and having fun and sharing stories, Donnie's always the guy who's like, yeah, let's get some stories on. He's always in the middle, just like, you know, telling stories and keeping it on. So I just feel like this is a great time to have you as a host of the show because, well, go for Donnie. That's Jay. The whole the name.
Thanks,
comes
Jay.
From,
You're too kind, but you're so true that that's all we did is talk about these stories. And that's what spawned this podcast, is us always talking about these fun, crazy stories from our time on Top Gear, which is going to roll into that's other right. shows because we both have had some amazing times behind the scenes on other shoots other than Top Gear. And we'll eventually get to that. But for now, we're going to stick with Top Gear because it's so much fun and it's just such an important time in our lives. So do you happen to have anything you want to share? Maybe a story you can share with us, Jay, that I didn't know about?
Well, I think on that note, just before we leave that idea, we should definitely just let people know, if you want to contact us, if you're a crew cast from different shows, gofordonnie@gmail.com. If you want to just give us a line and just say, hey, I've got an idea, I've got a great story. Because we're going to try, basically what we want to do is we want to have people on, and we're going to try and limit each episode to one story so we can really fill out. It's not going to be like this episode today where we're kind of like shotgunning all kinds of different stories. We're going to try just and keep it so it's like focused on one story. And then, you know, we're really going to try and make the details unfold in a really cool manner and have people just kind of, you know, tell one at a time. But if you do, if you're listening to us now, or you have an idea of some sort of a story that you'd like to share with us on the podcast, feel free to just send us an email, tell us a little bit about your story, and, you know, we'll try and schedule a time to get you on. And hopefully we get some more stories and get more people, you know, with different productions and all kinds of different backgrounds on. So,
because, you know, there's so many fun, crazy stories, shenanigans, and ballyhoo that you all want to talk to us about.
Yeah. Do you have a crazy story that on one of the sets I wasn't on, you know, because we weren't always on every show. I don't think anyone was on every show in Top Gear.
No, and that's the beauty part, where we'll be able to bring other cast members and crew on to talk about other stories that you and I probably weren't a part of. And it'd be good to hear them, because, you know, it's always fun to hear different stories from different crew of different times when we weren't there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've got a good story. Were you in Maine with us?
I was not in Maine. No.
Ah.
Do tell.
Okay. Well,
do tell.
It was actually really cold. Have you ever been to Maine in the winter?
Yeah, it's pretty cold up there.
Like, it's like if you were to drop somebody off in the middle of the Antarctica in the middle of winter and just, you know, you get up over the ice wall there and you just drop. That's what Maine is like. It's frigidly cold. I grew up, you know, in Flagstaff, Arizona, we have snow, but there's absolutely no comparison to Flagstaff in the winter and Maine. I mean, it's just a whole different ballgame. So we were up there shooting a snowplow episode, which was pretty fun, actually.
Ooh.
But
ooh.
Yeah, another fun story of, you know, ice and snow. But Adam's was the best. Adam had a school bus. I think it was a short bus.
Wait, bus, Adam, and what's the third element?
And a flamethrower on top. So
fire. There we go. Adam and fire. He loved fire. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's all you need to know right there, right?
A recipe. Okay, and he survived.
Well, he did. He did survive that one too. But the funny part about the whole story is really the end, where we had to blow up a small shack of some kind and
blow up, just blow it up for camera.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, didn't we have another blow up situation in Mexico that kind of was a little bit funny too?
Yeah. I think they're trying to light some fireworks, but the matches were in a pocket of someone that was in the water. So therefore the matches wouldn't light. And that was a stopgap.
We had to leave crew there for like 5 days in Mexico to actually blow up the firework raft, because it wasn't just fireworks. I mean, you got to explain that too.
It was one of the cars that was out on the raft, and that was the whole gig, is to blow that car up. And so it was rigged with a lot of explosives. And we're already there. It was like the golden hour. The sun was coming down, and for some reason the matches were wet in someone's pocket and they wouldn't light the fireworks. So we didn't get the shot off. So that's why they had to stay another 5 days to replicate that shot,
yeah,
which we might have reference of.
Yeah. And you know, speaking of losing things in your pockets, do you remember a certain person having keys left in their pockets?
I knew you were going with this. I knew you were going with this. It was a cop car episode up in Detroit. It's funny. It was after we got shut down by the Detroit police, where they pulled our permit, where we can talk about that another time. But after we got back to our mini base camp, for some reason, no one can find the keys to one of the vehicles that one of our hosts was in. We searched for well over an hour. Everyone on the crew searched for well over an hour, feverishly trying to find this car, these keys to this car, so that way we could proceed filming. And an hour goes by before it appeared out of someone's pants.
We might have to let that be that certain person's story. We'll allow them to take it from there.
I think he'd be glad to tell that story, hear what they have to say about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's a funny one. Yeah, so back to the story in Maine. So we're getting ready to light this shack on fire, but it's the same thing. It's an explosive thing, you know, and we're pretty close to the shack. I mean, not too close. I think I have a video of this somewhere. There's some guys, some camera guys, even closer than I am. And I'm like, being a sound geek, you know, it's getting ready to explode. I've got my head kind of, I think I had my phone. I had like an old iPhone, like an iPhone 1. Or what were they called? What was the first ones? They were like
an iPhone first generation.
It was like 3. I think it was 3. Yeah. The iPhone 3. They were like really, really bad. But, you know, sound guys, we always have so many pockets and things where we can put things. So you can sometimes, when there's something really cool going on set, you can like put your phone in there, push record, and do your thing. You know, all the little geeky sound guy knob turdy twisty things.
Tweaking knobs, Jay. You're tweaking knobs.
So I was doing that. I had my head kind of buried, and I wanted to really get the nice explosion with my boom. You know, I was excited to be able to, you know, record this explosion that, of course, post-production was just going to put a new explosion in there. So, you know.
Boring.
Of course, but, you know, being a sound guy, you got to do your due diligence. You're like, I'm going to get this one. I'm going to get this one. And so it blows up. And I remember, I think it was one of our APs, you know, kind of bumped into me, and I was kind of like, I was kind of bummed, you know, because it like bumped into my, right at the explosion, like bumped into my boom. And And I was like, what's up, you know? And after the shoot, he told me it's because part of like one of the things that went like exploding into the air, a piece of wood, like went flying and it was like coming at me. And he was just trying to get me out of the way. It was a nice nudge, but I was all pissed off. But it was like,
you're like, what's up, man? Why are you pushing me?
Yeah. I was like, but the more
trying to save your life, bro.
Yeah. When you're on set and somebody, you know, pushes you out of the way, it's probably for a good reason. Don't get mad. Right?
Oh, my gosh. So the moral story here is we film a lot with fire and fireballs. That's what I'm hearing.
Dude, you have to tell them about your fireball story because that's the funniest story. And something you quite really weren't expecting, were you? When they asked you, they're like, hey, Donnie, have you ever...
Gary Schaefer.
How we go on set.
Gary Schaefer, the hair, Mr. Hair, Gary Schaefer, are one of our fearless directors. We were just chatting the other day and he was reminding me of all the situations that he's put me in. And it was one of those where I got to set and it was Back to the Future episode, 80s cars. And I was asked if I would drive a vehicle close to some bags and they go boom.
Hey, Donnie.
And so I was like, sure. Okay. It was pretty fun. I'm alive to talk about it. So maybe that's another story that we can tell further down the line and show some video because there's actually video of it and a couple of great shots too.
But
I'm alive to tell about it. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, tell them about some of the heat and things, unless you want to go into that on a full episode, because I remember you telling me that when you were going through it, it was supposed to kind of blow up like with some fire on either side. Right. And you weren't expecting were you in a fire suit?
OJ, you're so funny. So it was a Grand National. I show up to set and our Bill Shermer, our pyro guy, was rigging some fuel bags. And then I was asked if I would drive the vehicle just to the side of the fuel bags. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm not going to go through them. No big deal. And so a little bit goes by. And before I was going, Gary's like, hey, pal, how do you feel about driving the car through, you know, the fuel bags? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, is it cool? Bill, is it cool? And Bill's like, yeah, it's fine. You're just going to feel a little heat. No big deal. I'm like, okay. So I had to get the car up to, I think, 40 miles an hour, go through the
in a mall parking lot. It's not like we're in some controlled environment. It's like a mall parking lot.
It was the mall parking lot where they shot Back to the Future in
that's
East
right.
LA.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So the same parking lot. And so I'm like, okay. And I didn't have a balaclava. I didn't have a fire suit. Yeah. I didn't have a fuel cell. Like none of the lines were bled at all. And so I was like, well, Bill's saying it's safe. I'm okay. So right before we're about to go, I had to stop. I just probably, in the car, in the back seat so I could get it. So Jay, I had to stop. After I go through, I had to stop before a camera, a locked off camera. Right?
That's right.
So
I remember.
Right before I go, I'm like, hey, Bill, I'm like, so what am I queuing off of? Like, you know, are you going to cue it off of me? He's like, don't worry about it. You just get going, get up to 40 miles an hour. I'll cue the bags. You know, whatever. I'm like, okay. So I did it. Boom, they go off. And man, it was hotter than hell in there, Jay. And I couldn't see anything. I was like, what the hell? And I literally had to make a little slight left and stop in front of the camera. Did it. Stopped. Yeah. And you hear fire alarms going off from the explosion. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Okay, that's pretty cool. So I get out and Gary's like, hey, pal. He goes, how do you feel about, you know, maybe doing that one more time? And I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? And so I did it one more time. So I did it twice, nailed it twice, and, you know, never do that again. So we have some video and some photos for reference so you can see. But those are some of the crazy shenanigans that we had on Top Gear and truthfully some of the best days of my life once again.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, you can go check out the YouTube channel and you can watch it because we're going to put some of these videos and photos in there for people to reference. Because, you know, we want to make it so that you can just sit and listen to this, you know, in the gym or on a plane or in your car. But if you have time and you want to sit down and see kind of some of the things we're talking about, we're hopefully going to be adding everybody's, you know, photos, videos, anything that crew and cast may have picked up with their cell phones on the day, right? So there's going to be a YouTube channel. All of the social media sites are
so exciting.
GoForDonnie.com. You're going to have connections to all the links to everything. So
we'll and a little shout out to Maddie. Thanks, Maddie, for hooking us up. You're doing a great job.
So the other last thing, you were going to tell me a story, weren't you?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I did change my story up, and it's going to be about Texas, Jay. And it's going to be the first traveling episode that we were on as a crew for Top Gear, at least the bulk of us, because this was episode, I think, season 2, episode 1, where we went to Texas. And I kid you not, we... all certain terms, we shit on the Alamo.
What you mean?
So basically, the guys were there and they had to use their vehicles as farm vehicles and do certain chores on farms. So one of those chores was to go and pick up a bunch of manure and transport it from point A to point B. So they chopped the tops off of cars. Rutledge had a little Miata. He put these huge buckets alongside of the car and they filled up each car with shit, with manure, Jay. I mean, straight up manure. I think Adam had like a cardboard partition, you know, in between the seat that didn't really work. And then what we did, well, it's what everyone does on Top Gear. We go on a drive and we drive around the belt loop in San Antonio, Texas, and we end up parking right in front of the Alamo where manure is just spewing out of these containers and out of these cars. And we stayed there for a hot minute. I think took some pictures, regrouped, and then on we went, spewing manure all over San Antonio. It was amazing. Another fun day on Top Gear. Yeah, San Antonio. Yeah. I don't think we've been back.
Oh my gosh.
But we love Texas. We love Texas.
Yeah. So Donnie, just on the way out here, do you remember that time when you and I, somehow you lost your glasses in the Suburban and you and I were screaming at each other?
No, do tell. It must have got heated.
No, what happened? I think we were in like, I don't have any idea where we were, but it was like one of our earliest shows. And we were like, you're like, Jay, where'd you put my sunglasses? And I was like, Donnie, I did not move your sunglasses. And you're like, Jay, give me your sunglasses. I need my sunglasses. I left them right here beside you. And I was like, Donnie, I didn't take them. So we got into this really heated, just like, where's my sunglasses? But the reason I bring that up is because it's just one of those funny stories where, you know, you're out there with your family all day, every day, 15-18 hour days, you're tired, you're hungry, you just want to go home most of the time, you know, use the restroom, take a shower and go to bed, right? And you're still out there and sometimes things get heated, you know? So, you know, all those times you're out there, those crew members that are listening to us, you know, take it easy on your other cast and crew because, you know, look at us, you know, what is it, 15 years later, here we are, you know, starting up a new podcast. So just goes to show, you know, like you get some of the best friendships out of being on set. So, you know, take care of all those cool friendships when you're out there too. It's fun.
It's amazing. And with that, take it with a grain of salt too, because I can tell you that I've had words with just about every crew member, all of our friends at one point or another, and they've had words with me and it's in a moment and you get over it. I mean, it's something probably petty and stupid and you're probably just tired, like you're saying, and cranky and you just blow up at someone, but we always apologize and, you know, we never hold grudges because that's what kept us so close together.
Water under the bridge, man. You just like get to laugh about it. Hopefully at the end of the day, don't take anything seriously.
And it just creates a fun, crazy behind the scenes story to talk about on Go for Donnie.
And remember, if you're out there listening, all you crew members, you know, definitely get a hold of us. Tell us your stories. We'd love to have people on. We want to hear some crazy, crazy film and TV production stories. You know, we want to hear about it and make some cool episodes out of it too. So get a hold of us. GoForDonnie.com. GoForDonnie@gmail.com to email us.
Hashtag GoForDonnie.
Yeah. We're going to have some swag out there too. We're going to get some shirts and some hats and maybe some stickers and things.
Oh, we have a lot of good giveaways, a lot of good stuff with our great logo.
Thanks for listening. We really appreciate you listening to Go for Donnie episode 1. And I'm going to be popping out of here. Donnie's going to be your fine host from here on out. And I'm going to be behind the scenes.
I'll be driving with Jay in the back seat, just like we were on Top Gear. Jay was always in the back seat while I was in the front seat. So we'll make it happen.
Production for Donnie.
Go for Donnie. Location for Donnie.
Go for Donnie.
Habitat for Donnie.
Go for Donnie.
Hey Donnie, what the hell are they doing?